Maybe the greatest piece of literature ever written in human history was the 23rd Psalm. The Bible is the Word of God, and this psalm just towers over all human literature even. I don't think anyone's ever written anything so beautiful, so meaningful as the 23rd Psalm. I've heard sermon after sermon after sermon in my life from this text, read books on it, and it's just so deep, nobody's ever scratched the surface of what is contained in the 23rd Psalm. I just want to look at the first verse this morning. I strongly want to encourage every adult lady, every teen lady to be present tonight at 5:30 for the ladies' meeting as you'll actually get a book on the 23rd Psalm. You'll be studying through it. It's just the depth of the scriptures and the depth of passages like this are just amazing to me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want to speak today on one word, and that word is satisfied. Satisfied. There are so many benefits from being related to Jesus Christ. And just one of them that I want to talk to you about this morning is that of being satisfied, or I want to say the potential of being satisfied. Just because you know Christ as your Savior does not mean that you're satisfied. The text says, the Lord is my shepherd. And it says this phrase, I shall not want. I'm not going to want anything. I'll be satisfied. That is the potential that lies in your walk with Jesus Christ. This verse does not say, the Lord is my Savior, I shall not want. It doesn't say that. There's a lot of people that know Christ as their Savior. They've accepted the Lord. They've used Him as their eternal insurance security from going to hell. And I guess He's all right with that. I don't think He's all right with that, But I know a lot of people who've come to Jesus Christ for one reason, and that is to be saved from their sins so they won't end up in hell. And that certainly is wiser than the person who won't come to Christ as their Savior and be saved. I mean, at least we did one thing right when we accepted the Lord as our Savior. He saved us. But the text says, the Lord is my shepherd. The satisfaction that is a potential from your relationship to Christ comes when you go beyond accepting Him as your Savior and you yield to Him and submit to Him as your shepherd, the one that you are going to follow for the rest of your life. When Jesus becomes your shepherd, one of the benefits of that is, I shall not want. I will be satisfied. Jesus is our shepherd. He is our Lord. And when we accept Him as our Savior, we come to Him as our Savior, but there needs to be, and we acknowledge Him as Lord, but there needs to be a time when we submit to Him as Lord. What does that mean? That's when we get to the place where we do what He wants us to do, where we go where He wants us to go, where we say what He wants us to say, even when we think what He wants us to think. That's where we submit to the Lordship of Christ. When He becomes our shepherd, and for me it took 10 years, I accepted Jesus as my Savior in 1969. I submitted to Him my life as my shepherd in 1979 as a 22-year-old man. I was saved for those 10 years, but I was doing my own thing. I was trying to pray and witness, and I even led some of my friends to Christ at school, and I was trying, you know, I found out later I was trying in the flesh. You can't live the Christian life in the flesh. No one's been able to. You won't either. I couldn't. I finally gave up and quit and said, it's too hard. But then when you meet the blessed Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit not only indwells you at salvation, but he begins to fill you, and he directs you to follow Christ. Christ becomes, and you let Jesus be your shepherd, the one who leads and guides your life. When you let him make every major decision for you, when you let him make every minor decision for you, as it says in Proverbs, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In other words, he's going to guide you and you follow him. That's what a shepherd is. Just please don't think deeply today. Please think very shallow with this sermon. Picture a shepherd. He's got a bunch of sheep around him. He starts walking that way. The sheep start following that way. And as a result, all these benefits in the rest of the chapter, the sheep enjoy. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. You see, verses 2 through 6 are a definition and an illustration of the satisfaction he promises in verse 1. He says, if you will follow me, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. If when he starts walking in that direction, you start walking in that direction, he'll lead you besides green pastures. You know what green pastures is? That's nourishment. That's satisfaction. That's in sheep language, that's something to eat to keep them satisfied. Rest. He'll give you rest. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. If you're unrestful in your spirit today, and you're up and down, you're never satisfied, and life hasn't satisfied you, follow Jesus. He restores my soul. I mean, usually by the time we come to Christ as our Savior, the devil has wrecked most of us. This word restore means literally to renovate, like you renovate a house completely. He can restore you, give you your brand new life back after the world's wrecked you and the devil's wrecked you and sin's wrecked you and vices have wrecked you. He can come along and restore you, make something beautiful. He makes all things beautiful in his time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I think it's verse 12. When he's done, he can make something beautiful out of something the devil has ruined. And you'll be satisfied. You say, wow, look what God did with me. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. Thou art with me. Boy, it sure beats walking alone through the valley of the shadow of death. To have Jesus, he's not going to desert you in the valleys of your life or my life. Not even when death comes. Jesus will be right there if we follow him as our shepherd. But you know, a lot of people get saved and say, you know, thank you, Jesus, really appreciate that, but I got things I want to do now. And I it's my life, you know, you got my soul, but it's my life. I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and so on and so forth. I'm going to do my own thing. And they go this way, and the shepherd goes that way. But you know what happens to people who do their own thing, because I tried this? They don't find any satisfaction. They try all kinds of things today, drugs and alcohol and perversion and gambling, and those are just the outside things, but those people aren't satisfied. They're not satisfied. What we need to do is say, okay, Jesus, you saved me, you're my Savior, but I also want you to be my shepherd, and then the benefits. See, a little formula here. Savior plus shepherd equals satisfaction. I've seen men, this is precious. Some of you have seen this too. I've seen men come to know the Lord as their Savior, and they start following the Lord. And hunting season will come, and you look at them, and you'll say, brother, aren't you going hunting? Nah, they say, I kind of lost interest in that. Really? When they were adopted. Now, there's nothing wrong with a man going hunting, is there? Nothing wrong with it at all. I mean, in moderation, it's okay to do something like that once in a while. But I've seen men give that up when that was what they lived for at one time. But guess what? In Jesus, they found something better. And he satisfied them that they either gave it up or they just do it rarely. Hunting, fishing, sports. Man, I was a sports fanatic growing up. I mean, you couldn't get me away. And there's nothing wrong with sports. It's when it becomes an idol, when it occupies all of your time and your thoughts and you pour your emotions into it. And pretty soon, man, who cares? Hockey, football, you know, baseball, basketball, all kinds of stuff. Pretty soon you see men where they don't involve themselves in that anymore. Why? Believe it or not, some of you can't believe this because you've never tried it. But Jesus satisfies. And they get so satisfied in Jesus the stuff the world serves up just isn't appetizing to them anymore. Did you ever go to a restaurant and get a big, huge meal like that Aunt Billy's? You know? And by the time you're done with the meal, you're so stuffed that all you want is a box. Really, that's all you want. You want a box. Man, you say, I shouldn't eat that much. I'm sorry, Lord. You know, but they get these big plates sometimes, or Cracker Barrel or whatever. And by the time you're done eating, all you want is a box. And then the waitress comes up and says, what? Like any dessert? And my wife and I don't think we've ever bought dessert at a restaurant. I don't know, maybe we have. But why? You're so full on the meal that you can say no to the dessert. Chocolate pie, lemon meringue pie. Now, if you're hungry, you couldn't say no to any of that. Donuts, brownies, big cookies. We were at Aunt Millie's this week, Monday, Valentine's. They got to do that stuff, you know. And, you know, when you walk in, they got the big case there, and they got, I don't know why, but they make lemon meringue pie about that tall. And the other things, just I don't know why. I've never seen dessert so big as Aunt Millie's. And you go in, you're like, whoa. And it tempts you when you walk in, but then when you eat the meal, you get so full that you can say no to those things. You know what? One of the amazing benefits of knowing Jesus as your shepherd is, he satisfies. He satisfies. And here's another one of the benefits, and this is one of the greatest secrets of victory I've ever learned in my life. When you're so satisfied in Jesus, he satisfies your hunger, he satisfies your thirst. When the devil comes up and serves something up to tempt you with, it's so easy to say no. Want some drugs? Some beer? Want to look at some pornography? Want to go gambling or something? You say, no. Why would I want that? I'm full. Brethren, one of the problems, this is one of the faults, and maybe it's the pastor's fault, not teaching it enough, but a lot of times you'll see people over here and they're struggling with something, and they get on their knees and say, oh, God, help me to overcome my alcohol and give up my nicotine and give up my gambling, and oh God, I have a critical spirit, and oh God, take away this lust and this fantasy and these delusions and all this romance and my desperation for the opposite sex, and oh God, take away this temptation, take away this temptation, take away this temptation. When they should be over here saying, Lord, help me just to follow you today. And you follow Jesus as your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You won't even have to pray about that stuff. And that is one of the greatest secrets to victory in the Christian life. You become so satisfied with Jesus, you don't, why would I want that? I just had a big meal over here. I just had so much to eat and drink, I can't stand it. I'm so satisfied. Why would I want something like that? And there's people that have been begging God for years to set them free from this or this or this, when the secret is, if they'll follow Jesus, I shall not want. I won't want drugs, won't want romance and all that kind of stuff. And the bad stuff, there's nothing wrong with getting married and so on, but won't want the pornography that's plaguing our country, won't want the nicotine and all that kind of stuff, because why? I'm satisfied in Jesus. Satisfied in Jesus. Turn to John 6, verse 35. This is a New Testament verse where Jesus says about the same thing that he said to us in Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now notice what he says to us here in John 6, in verse number 35. John 6, 35. When you find that, read that out loud with me if you're there. John 6, 35. Ready? And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Wow. Now, I know there's two applications. You can apply that verse right there to salvation. If you come to Jesus to be saved, you'll never hunger, you'll never thirst for another religion or another God, all right? When you find Jesus, you found it. You found what you've been looking for. I've never known anybody who was ever truly born again of God's Holy Spirit who went off to some other religion. I've seen people converted out of other religions to Christ and stay with Christ till they died. Now, there are a few people that we thought were saved and leave us, but I think John, the apostle, covered that in 1 John 2:19 when he said they went out from us, but they were not of us. He said if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, I'm sure there's people that hung around this church or other good churches that we thought were saved, but they weren't, and they left. But brethren, if you know Christ as your Savior, that was the end of your search for salvation. That was the end of your search for the answer to the need of your soul for eternal life, accepting Christ. But I think the next application is what our text said today, where the Lord said, look, if you believe in me, you'll never hunger and you'll never thirst. And all kinds of things that you thought were so valuable in your life growing up, they'll just drop off. Listen, I have seen people become so satisfied with Christ, they gave up money to follow the Lord. Now, I meet people all the time, well, you got to have money. You got to have money to make. Tell John Bunyan that. When he's in the Bedford prison in England for 16 years, I believe it was, because he wouldn't take a license from England to preach the gospel. He said, you don't license me. God already licensed me. And they stuck him in jail for 16 years, and he had no money. He had no stocks. He had no bonds. He had no investments. He had no properties. He had no possessions. Lost his wife and kids. A lot of times they weren't allowed to see him. And there he is in prison with nothing but some parchments and a quill and some green moss growing on the wall. And he'd go over and he'd take his quill and scrape off some green moss and he'd write down in a book. And that book became known as Pilgrim's Progress. And the last I heard, it was the second leading book ever sold in human history. No money, but he was satisfied in Christ. We've had missionaries come through here many times who gave up lucrative businesses, gave up their lands. We've had missionaries stand up here who are earning six-figure incomes every year But they became so satisfied in Jesus Christ that money meant nothing to them anymore. And they gave it up. They gave their money up. They gave their land. They gave their beautiful houses up. They gave their possessions up that they might win Christ. And they were so satisfied. Some of them left our country. Left all the comforts and resources of America and went to the mission field. And as you go to the mission field and you read their letters and visit them and hear the reports, they're the happiest people on earth. And some of us, with all of our money and our stocks and our bonds and our properties, we'd be better to give it all up and follow the Lord because we're so unhappy with it. We're so unsatisfied with it. It's ruining us. It'd be better to walk away from it all. Jesus said to that rich man, he said, "You want to follow me? Okay." He said, "Sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me." You know what? That man walked away from the Lord because he was sore displeased, because he had much possessions. But he didn't realize, Psalm 23 said, that if he followed the Lord like Jesus said, he wouldn't want. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And the Lord would have satisfied that man for the rest of his life. Moses left behind the treasures of Egypt. He refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter. He lived in royalty. He lived in the most glamorous country of the day, Egypt, in the palace of Pharaoh. He could have lived on Easy Street the rest of his life, but he said, "I'll give all that up for Christ any day." He went out into the wilderness where there weren't even toilets. There weren't even food. There wasn't even drink. He left behind all of his money, all of his treasures. He walked away from it, and he found satisfaction. Money can't satisfy you. Possessions can't satisfy you. Pleasures can't satisfy you or me. They can't. They never have been able to. They never will be able to. We have an entire book in our Bible dedicated to that named Solomon, whom God gave the opportunity to have anything he wanted. He could have any woman he wanted. All the money, education, science, musicians, the best musicians of the day. And he said, "Man, everything I have attained is vanity and vexation of spirit. It has left me completely empty." Completely empty. And not that God wanted him to live that lifestyle. It was just available to him. God doesn't tempt us with evil. I hope you understand what I mean. He doesn't tempt us with evil, nor tempts any man. But listen, some of you would be so much more satisfied if you gave up everything you own, went and lived in some little tiny hut somewhere, gave your all to the Lord. The Lord has followed the Lord. Said, "Lord, I want to just follow you. I want to get up every morning, and first thing I want to do, I just want to get into your word. Let you speak to me. I want to get on my knees and pray. And I want to say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Lord, who do you want me to help today? Lay somebody on my heart that I can help. What do you want me to say today? What do you want me to? You're the Lord of my life. I'm following you. As I go to work today, I got to work. I'm a man. But as I go to work, Lord, help me to follow you, to be what you want me to be at work. Help me as a mother today as I take care of my kids, as a father as I take care of my kids. Or as I go to school, I'm a student. Lord Jesus, help me to follow you today. How do you want me to act at school? How do you want me to act on the basketball court when someone runs me over? What do you want me to do with my money? What do you want me to do with my time?" And you know, when you get around Jesus, he begins to satisfy your soul, restore your soul. He begins to take care of all your hunger. He begins to take care of all your thirsts. Pretty soon you say, "Man, I hate television. There's nothing in television. These movies are meaningless. They're empty. They're a waste of time." And you start giving up things you thought you could never give up because you found something better. You found something better. See, Jesus, I'm glad if he's your Savior today, but that's not where satisfaction comes from. It's to your shepherd. Don't do what I did. Don't be saved for 10 years before you finally say, as a 22-year-old man, Jesus, here's my life. I'm not satisfied living for myself. Just trying to earn money and play sports. These were the things that mattered to me. I had a 1955 Ford pickup. I really did. And there's nothing wrong with owning a classic car. Some of you do. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing at all. But my attitude was wrong. Now, mine wasn't a classic. It was a 55. This was a 1979. One more year, it would have been a classic. this thing was nice. 55 Ford pickup truck. 292 engine. I still can see the thing in my mind because I used to stare at it and drool about it so much. You know how that is when you love something? And right around there, I was 22, I met Leslie, and we were heading toward marriage, and God was really getting a hold of my heart. Went to a missions conference that year in March, and God just got a hold of me and said, I want you to follow me. Not just be saved, but follow me and be my shepherd. And so I had this 1955 Ford pickup truck. Man, it was just one of those things where you could roll down the window, stick your elbow out, put some sunglasses on, drive through town, and just snap heads. Just snap heads. Whoa, where'd you get that from? So I'm binding my own business in church one day, and a missionary comes through. He says, I have this project that I'm working on that I believe if I could pull this off, I could reach some souls for Christ. He says, but I'm short so many dollars, and I need some funds to fund this project. And then he just dropped it and went on with his preaching. You know how missionaries do that? They say, pray for us. We're trying to put a roof on our church or trying to build this orphanage over in Peru. And then they go on and preach. And the Holy Spirit said to me, sell your truck and give this fellow all the money. And, you know, I kind of try to dismiss it for a few minutes. You know how that is? But finally I just said, you know something? I don't need that truck. And I stuck that truck out by the road, 4004 North Buffalo Road in Orchard Park, New York. I stuck that truck out there. The first day it was out there, this policeman going by stops. I said, man, am I in trouble or what? He said, you're selling this truck? I said, yeah. How much you want? I told him. He said, done. Took the money. I gave it to the missionary. Never have I missed that truck. He told me later, well, he didn't tell me, I heard this later on, that project led to about 100 people getting saved that I funded with a truck. That's what satisfies, that kind of stuff. But that was just Jesus leading me. And man, Leslie and I, we got down to about nothing. We were first married. We just wanted to serve Jesus. We wanted to follow the Lord. The Lord said, I want you to start a church. Okay. I don't know what starting a church means, but we'll follow you, Lord. You guide this thing. And we got that church started about 6 months later. I went up to my dad and said, Dad, I can't work for you anymore. You're my only source of income. You're the only weekly paycheck I have. But God's led me into ministry. I'm sorry, Dad. Dad wanted to take the business and lay it in my lap. The grocery store, the two farms, 6 acres, 140 acres. He just wanted to, he says, you're the only one of my three sons that's interested in this. I just want to, you know, you probably could have laid it in my lap. He ended up selling some of the property and making a lot of money in Orchard Park, okay? Let's just leave it with that. Could have been mine. I said, I don't want any of that. I want Jesus. I want to follow the Lord. I had to walk away from my dad, and it caused a little rift between us for about 10 years. Not a big rift, but a little rift. And I said, Dad, I love you, but I want to serve the Lord. He called me to the ministry. I don't understand. I don't know why he called me. But he's called me, and I gave my life to the Lord. The Lord became my shepherd. Oh, you need to go beyond Christ being your Savior. to being your shepherd. And then you'll never want. You'll be so satisfied. If you handed me hockey tickets today and said, man, they're going to be on national TV this afternoon, I'd say, you go. I just want to go home, rest, read my Bible, pray a little bit, come back tonight and preach. I don't think there's anything wrong with watching a sports contest or going golfing. I didn't go last year. I usually go out once or twice. I didn't get out any time. But brethren, the Lord, can you honestly say that? The Lord is my shepherd. If you can say that honestly, then you can say, I shall not want. I am so satisfied. Like us to bow our heads and close our eyes and just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, bless our invitation time. Lord Jesus, you're the good shepherd. You're the great shepherd. You're the chief shepherd. And if we stay close to you and follow you every day, you'll satisfy us. We can rise above money and possessions and pleasures and addictions and vices and even a critical spirit, Lord, will fall away from us as we'll be so satisfied with Christ that it won't matter what humans do or don't do around us. And oh, what victory, Lord. I think it's one of the keys to victory over vices and temptations and sins is just to be so full in Christ where you never hunger, you never thirst, that no matter what Satan offers up as a temptation, we can say easily, I don't want it. I'm full. I'm not thirsty. I'm satisfied. Lord, thank you for these spiritual metaphors. And I just want to pray that maybe somebody in this room, they're already saved today, Lord, but they're not satisfied. The life they're living has left them empty and wanting more. Might come today and yield to Christ as their shepherd. Beyond just their Savior. And I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.